Gotcha Patch.
It's me, it's Shawnee Wan, and I felt compelled to record something. Death is sad in and of itself, but when death comes to someone that you have an intimate relationship with, someone that you know, what can be sadder? I can't think of a thing. Roy Dotrice has left us at age 94. I could sit here and I could spew out all of his professional accomplishments and his career as a performance artist in the theater, on film, but honestly, I don't know anything about that. Like many of you, the only time I've seen Roy Dotrice on television was his 2-episode run in the second season of Game of Thrones. It's unfortunate that his obituary leads off with that accomplishment. Roy Dotrice was a lot more than the pyromancer. Halen. Wisdom Halen the Pyromancer. He was almost cast as Grand Maester Pycelle, but medical reasons kept him away from that role, and instead Julian Glover was cast, and Julian Glover was great. I have no qualms that Roy Dotrice wasn't featured with a more illustrious role, and I said intimate relationship. It feels like I've had an intimate relationship with Roy Dotrice. We'll go back to 2011, and I started working with a casual dining concept called Joe's Crab Shack, which was opening restaurants on Long Island where I live. And I opened the first location Joe's Crab Shack had on Long Island. It was probably the most difficult 6 to 8 months of my life. These were 12 to 14 hour days, 6 days a week, preparing the restaurant for opening, dealing with the business once it opened. And this was a fairly far commute for me, beginning with a commute to New Jersey for training from Long Island, and then a commute from Hicksville to Oceanside, which for Long Islanders, it's about a 35 to 40 minute commute. And later on, that commute would take me to Riverhead when a location opened there. For all this driving I did to go and work what was really a miserable job, there was one part of my day that I very much looked forward to, and that was getting out of work, getting into my Kia Soul, and listening to Roy Dotrice read A Song of Ice and Fire to me. There was one point over the course of 2011 to 2015 where I listened to him read A Game of Thrones, A Clash of Kings, A Storm of Swords, A Feast for Crows, A Dance with Dragons, back to A Game of Thrones, through the whole cycle again, 5-6 times in a row. And this was a period in time before I started listening to podcasts. I wasn't in a good enough mood to enjoy music. What I would do is get myself lost in Roy Dotrice's performance of these books. If you ask me, as much as I love Stephen Dillon's performance as Stannis, Roy Dotrice's performance of Stannis in A Dance with Dragons is far superior. Much as I enjoy Maisie Williams' Arya Stark, Roy Dotrice's performance of Arya Stark is far superior. The man has a lot of audiobook credits. I'm not going to go through them. I don't know about them. I didn't listen to any of them, except for A Song of Ice and Fire, which, by the way, earned him a place in the Guinness Book of World Records for the highest number of character voices by a single actor. In A Game of Thrones, he voiced 224 characters, and with each character, he brought some distinction. I try that when I read to Frank at night. Currently, we're reading The Black Cauldron, basically kiddie versions of The Lord of the Rings. I try to bring different voices to each character so that Frank will know which character is speaking based simply on the voice that I'm performing. The Book of Three is something like 250 pages, and I've made plenty of mistakes. Granted, it's the first time I'm reading this book, thinking a character is a specific character when it's not. I'm doing one character's voice for a different character until I realize that it's the wrong character. Frank doesn't realize, so I press on, but the fact that Roy Dotrice was able to do this with a book 5-6 times the length, with at least 7 times as many characters, it is incredible. For anybody that has yet to read A Song of Ice and Fire and doesn't think that they have the time to do so, I highly suggest you pick up the audiobooks. Roy Dotrice's performance truly got me through one of the darker periods of my life, some of the toughest years of my life, like any restaurant opening. When things got so stressful that I wanted to walk out myself, I just thought of my ride home and listening to Roy Dotrice read Jamie 4 from Feast for Crows. And I couldn't arrive home until the chapter was over, so I'd make that ride home a little bit longer. And maybe it sounds silly to some people, but for me it was what got me through the day. He died at 94. He lived a long life, a successful life, and I'm not sad for him. I'm sad for me. If and when The Winds of Winter comes into my life, it would be one thing to purchase that book and read it, but half of what I was looking forward to was Roy Dotrice performing The Winds of Winter. Part of me is mad at George, again, and I don't think I have a right to be in this case. I don't think I realized how much I was looking forward to listening to him read The Winds of Winter, and I was going to try and include a little clip of him reading, and I knew which chapter I wanted him to read, but I couldn't find it on YouTube, and I wasn't going to go and drop $50 on the audiobook, and quite frankly, since I moved out to Medford, I can't find my audiobook CDs, but the point of this is not for me to convince you to listen to him read you A Song of Ice and Fire. The point of this is to acknowledge that Roy Dotrice is dead, and next to George R.R. Martin, his is the face and the voice that I most associate with Westeros and all of these characters. And quite frankly, if you listen to him read these books to you, like me, you will believe that he may have a better handle on these characters than Elio, than Martin himself, than Benioff, than Weiss. Is he a master actor? I don't know, but when it comes to reading a story to an audience, I highly doubt that there's anybody better. And I look forward to The Winds of Winter that much less with him gone. Thank you for listening. We'll speak with you guys really soon.
They say Lord Beric always gives a man a trail, that he won't kill a man unless something's proved against him. You can't prove anything against me. The Red Wedding was my father's work, and Raymond's and Lord Bolton's. Lothar rigged the tents to collapse and put the crossbowmen in the gallery with the musicians. Bastard Walder led the attack on the camps. They're the ones you want, not me. I only drank some wine. You have no witness.
As it happens, you're wrong there.
The singer turned to the hooded woman.
Milady?
The outlaws parted as she came forward, saying no word. When she lowered her hood, something tightened inside Merritt's chest, and for a moment he could not breathe.
No, I saw her die. She was dead for a day and a night before they stripped her naked and threw her body in the river. Raymond opened her throat from ear to ear. She was dead.
Her cloak and collar hid the gash his brother's blade had made, but her face was even worse than he remembered. The flesh had gone pudding soft in the water and turned the colour of curdled milk. Half her hair was gone, and the rest had turned as white and brittle as a crone's. Beneath her ravaged scalp, her face was shredded skin and black blood where she'd raked herself with her nails. But her eyes were the most terrible thing. Her eyes saw him, and they hated.
"She don't speak," said the big man in the yellow cloak. "You bloody bastards cut her throat too deep for that. But she remembers."
He turned to the dead woman and said,
"What do you say, my lady? Was he part of it?"
Lady Catelyn's eyes never left him. She nodded. Merritt Frey opened his mouth to plead, but the noose choked off his words, His feet left the ground, the rope cutting deep into the soft flesh beneath his chin. Up into the air he jerked, kicking and twisting. Up and up and up.
Atcha-patch.